Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. Today, I am with Grammy-nominated percussionist, flautist, and internationally recognized educator, performer, and composer, Marla Lee Goldstein, founder of the Frame Drum Academy Online, with students learning together worldwide. Marla has recently launched her debut music video and album. We're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be listening in. It's called Rhythms of Toph Miriam. Welcome, Marla, to Voice Rising.
Oh, thank you so much, Kara. It's truly an honor to be here with you and your community.
Thank you. And it's an honor to, be sharing this show with you, too. You have a album out there, which is gorgeous, which is really takes us on a journey. It's one of those albums that we can use to go very deep and at the same time be regenerated and rejuvenated and get a lot of visions and pictures that come to us. You dedicate it to, it's called The Rhythms of Toph Miriam. So you're inspired by the prophetess Miriam. What is the story? What drew you to this story?
How did you know there's a story?
I thought there might be a story.
There's a big story. So,
story.
Woo! It's a big story. Yeah, it's like one of those, like, you know, life-changing stories. So I've been very drawn to Miriam the prophetess, you know, since I was a little girl. My name in Hebrew is Miriam. And so I've been a musician my whole life. I started music when I was 3. I started with piano, probably like you. And then I went to flute. And then I found the frame drum and I fell in love with this instrument. And I didn't know about the roots of this instrument at all until a couple months into studying it. I mean, studying it's where I changed my major in college to percussion. Like, it was a big, so I learned about the rich history with the frame drum and how women in cultures around the world played this instrument. And in one of the traditions, in the Jewish tradition, Miriam the prophetess played the frame drum. And she played it in the pivotal moment when the Israelites were freed from slavery. And, you know, it's like you're in the desert for all those years. What are you going to bring? You're going to bring your frame drum? No, you're going to bring food, water. But Miriam was a prophetess, so she saw into the future. And so she brought her frame drums. And then in the moment when the Red Sea split and the Jews were freed, Miriam came out with women and song and timbrel. And it talks about it in the book of Exodus. So this beautiful moment, you know, she came out celebrating it with the frame drum, with women singing and dancing and drumming along. So I wanted to go to Israel and do like a bibliodrama of this moment, you know, of freedom. And so I this is where the seed of the album was created.
So you flew extra to Israel, although you have lots of studios in California, just to feel the essence of Miriam.
I was on a world tour and I said, I'm going to end it in Israel. I don't know who I'm going to record with. I don't know how I'm going to do a video. I just know it's going to happen. And then I had a gig in Germany, and I met this amazing Israeli artist, and she said, "Oh, you should call this, you know, studio
guy,
in Israel."
Studio.
Yeah, and I should, and Noam should be your videographer. And I met with them, and they said "Besher" in Hebrew, it means meant to be. And yeah. And in fact, it went so well that my studio guy ended up having cancellations, and you know, the weeks that I was there, and we ended up doing an album. So originally it was just going to be one song and a video, and I fundraised it through my community. And then all of a sudden I was like, I'm making an album. So all of these songs were created within just a few weeks.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Because the one thing is, because you are totally walking your talk and living it, right? I think the rhythms, they just fly from your fingers. So probably to create an album was just a magical moment. But also what you just said is also magical, because your community, and that's something you're very good at. You do have a Framed Armor Academy, and you have a very loyal and strong community. And that is precious in itself, to be able to say, "Oh, you guys, I have this opportunity. I'm, you know, whatever, in the desert or in Israel, needing to do an album. How would you like to share in the experience?" And I think that's very magical. I think that a lot of independent artists don't realize that it's this heart connection that makes good things happen. Right. So let's.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. So let's play the track. This is basically the title of the album, Rhythms of Tof Miriam. Is that correct? Yeah.
Uh-huh. And can I just talk a little bit about the song?
Yes, for the listeners who have
a musical ear, which I think most of your listeners do. So the song, it's broken into two parts. And the first part, it represents when the Israelites were like slaves in the desert. They were walking and they were just wandering, but they knew they had a sense of freedom. They knew they were going to be freed. And then the second part is the freedom. It changes, and you'll see it's more upbeat. And they're in two different time cycles. So if anybody can tell me the time cycles, you get lessons for the rest of your life.
Ooh! That is very, in German we say verführerisch. That's like seducing them into deeper listening here. Okay, let's listen to Rhythms of Tof Miriam. And this is the title track off of Marla Lee's latest album. Thank you. You were listening to Rhythms of Tof Miriam, which is Marla Lee Goldstein's latest album, and she's with me now in studio. Marla, they say about this album that it's all about staying positive through challenging times by using the universal language of rhythm to help us discover our genuine connections. And maybe, too, to give us the strength and the resilience, because if you think of that scene that you were describing from these biblical times, you know, we have many, many situations on the planet where people are not only celebrating their freedom, but where people are also needing the strength to unite together, you know, behind a certain vision of what they want. Freedom's a pretty cool vision to have. So you, as a concert artist, you're used to playing the drum, you know, right in front of your heart, right where that vibration is happening. But like we said before, you're also leading communities. So how does the drum help us to raise the consciousness of humanity and reconnect to each other?
I got the chills. What a powerful question.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, if you look in back into ancient times, right, and cultures around the world, the voice and the drum, they were the first two instruments, you know, and so the drum and the voice, I'm going to bring the voice in there because and I know that's your specialty and it's also something that's so connected with drumming. But, you know, cultures around the world would use the drum to gather community, to celebrate sacred rites of passages, for, you know, to celebrate weddings, to celebrate funerals, you know, for rituals, for war. You know, I was told that the drum was used as a sound for war. So, you know, in these ancient cultures, it's been used for thousands of years as a community builder, whether it's to celebrate, you know, birth, a death, or to let people know that there's a war going on. It's an awakening sound. And it's something that also, you know, you can also enjoy by yourself. You know, you can pick up the drum and you can sing, and it's very healing for yourself. But it's also a beautiful way to bring community together. You know, it's like what would you rather do with your friends, right? Watch Netflix or play drums and sing.
Play drums.
And so it's this beautiful community builder. And it also has really rich roots in these ancient, you know, practices of celebration with, like, you know, rituals and sacred rites of passages and stuff like that. So, you know, I think we're bridging the ancient to the modern day culture through connecting with the rhythms of drumming. Now, we don't know what rhythms they were playing thousands of years ago. I wish, you know, in the world of frame drumming, we can see ancient images dating back to as early as 5300 BCE, but we don't have, like, audio recording. So we don't know what rhythms they were playing, but we can see how they were holding the drums. We can see what kind of, you know, how they were using the drums, what kind of outfits they were wearing, you know, the kind of, you know, vibe with that, but we don't have audio recording. So I wish we did.
but we have eardrums, every one of us, and we have heartbeats, and right smack in the middle is our voice or our larynx. And the amazing thing that I always like to, when I'm teaching voice, is that there are a lot of people that struggle with rhythm. They feel that they're not rhythmical, right? And as soon as you take words, like as soon as you say, I don't know, butterfly, and then you say, oh, well, that's, you know, takida, or, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then it makes it so easy, right? Because behind words, behind language. So what we do know is that, weirdly enough, like you said, the drum and the voice, those are our instruments. And as soon as we start shifting little sounds, bata, ga, wawa, si, ga, you know, as a babies, then we start rhythmically creating this drum beat behind our sentences, which I think is very powerful, because without the rhythm, it wouldn't be anchored in time and space, right?
Which is cool. I love that. Like, I love that. And I love putting these words, like, I love chocolate. I love chocolate. I love chocolate. Five.
Yeah. or mama papa, right? And so I think a lot of people don't realize how innate drumming is. And that's what's so cool about these drum circles. You see people coming for the first time. Maybe they're just hitting it once in a while, and suddenly it'll sync. They'll all be in sync. In the beginning, it's chaos. But suddenly you feel this unity consciousness, and everyone starts breathing together, and everyone starts playing together. And of course, mm-hmm. if we could put the chocolate sauce on top, we'd have everyone singing together, right? And that is the kind of world that I personally would love to see. Yeah, I mean, it's in creation. I don't want to even say be created, because you're creating it, I'm creating it, and many people are creating it. So, So we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to be back.
Can I add
more.
One thing?
Yes.
Can I add one thing to you?
Yes.
So, you know, when you're saying about these drum circles and people gathering, you know, what they're doing is they're remembering, because really when you look at the first sound we hear, what's the first sound we hear? We hear the sound of our mother's heartbeat, right? So you're remembering, you know, and it's like everybody can drum, everybody can sing, right? It's like,
right.
So it's a remembering and connecting to that. So
beautiful. Yeah. Let's take a small break, and then we're going to be back with more about sacred frame drumming.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and today I am with Grammy-nominated percussionist, flautist, and internationally recognized educator, performer, and founder of the Frame Drum Academy Online, Marla Lee Goldstein. And it's all about, I guess it's about frame drum. It's about wellness. It's about our voice. Marla, we were talking about that the drum has its own voice. It's a voice of incredible power. It is alive. Many people don't realize this, but many drums, it's like touching skin, right? You say that the head of the drum, you say the skin of the drum. It's very sensual, the whole thing. And you are passionate about exploring different cultures musically and spiritually, and integrating also yoga, meditation, and good food into your lifestyle, right? So share with us a little bit, what does a typical day look like for you?
That's so funny, Kara. You have no idea. Like, I've never spoken with you before, and like, you totally nailed it. Like, how do you know that? That's amazing. That's a gift you have. So,
yeah.
You know, I've been brought up musically trained, and you know, I went to college and really had like the college music life, really focused, rigid, and really focused. I loved studying, you know, but I didn't take care of myself. I didn't take care of, you tend to do that when you're studying in college, right? You kind of just really focused and you stay up late, you don't eat well. And so when I got out of college, I started doing more music in the healing arts communities in Los Angeles and in yoga festivals and classes and, you know, recording for artists that are more in the healing arts field. And it became really important to me. So my typical day, my dream day is, mm-hmm. if I could have a dream day, it would be to get up early, which I would never, can't believe I'm saying this now, but to get up early, like around 6:30, and go for a walk without my phone. Like I come from a generation of not the phone, you know, like
right.
I'm still in that, like the tail end of no phone. And I think it's really important for us to detach from electronics, you know, once in a while. So I'll wake up and listen to the birds. I really get a lot of medicine from the birds and the rhythms of the birds. And then I would, you know, come back and stretch. Stretching for me, it's like I see such a difference in my day, in my playing, in my practice, my focus, if I stretch. Now, I'm not saying I do like a 2-hour Ashtanga yoga, but maybe just 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So maybe I do that. Maybe I hit the sauna before. Like there's a sauna I like to go to like, you know, really, and then set an intention for my day. And then I would say like by around 10:30, I'm ready to drum and practice. So, you know, it depends on what my focus is, what I have coming up. So my favorite thing though, I'm a practice nerd. So that's why this academy that I have is really fun for me, because I love practicing. Like I could be such a happy camper practicing for hours, but the body can't keep up. So that's why it's important to integrate, you know, breaks in your day when you're doing music. So I schedule those in. And, you know, so I work a lot with, like, I have a journal if I'm really in the practice mode of keeping, like, okay, what am I practicing? What is my tempo? Do I have a gig coming up? I have a recording coming up. What am I playing? And because it's this thing of a musician, we have so many instruments to practice, right? And so many things we could practice. I really work on practicing one thing. You know, really, you know, if it's improvising, if it's playing in five, if it's this one rhythm. And so I'm really like, as I get older, I'm really fine tuning my practice skills. And then I like good food. So I think that, as you said, it's like a drumming is a wellness practice. And, you know, I think life is a wellness practice. And you know, we're not supposed to drum for 10 hours a day. So it's good to take breaks and to eat healthy food and to not over caffeinate. Like I've noticed when I have too much caffeine, my hands shake. So I really like cooking. So I like to cook my own food, and I make elixirs, like cacao elixirs, that give me the energy to continue practicing. And then if it's not a practice day, if it's a recording day or a composing day, I'll do the same kind of method. And I usually try to not tune in to technology until later in the day, because I find that our brains, you know, the creative brain, it needs to be creative. Now, it's challenging when you have students and you have courses running and you have to be online. So I really try to say, okay, until 2 o'clock, I'm not checking in, you know, and
good for you.
So I discipline, you know, I think it's a discipline. And and then I take a walk every night, and I again, without the phone, to just like, and, you know, and then I meditate at night. I have a whole, so it's like all combined day. That would be my dream day, though, when I could just practice all day. Oh my gosh. Isn't that a dream day for you? Would that be a dream day for you?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a dream day for me. And I also love process. You know, I could practice and never even be on stage, right? I mean, I think the process of being an artist, and I also like watching artists. Like, I could just sit and watch a painter paint or a sculptor sculpt. I wouldn't have to go to the exhibition because I love that transformational thing that's happening when we can turn whatever mud into a clay pot, or we can turn string into sweaters, or we can, I don't know, I think it's just totally, it's beautiful. And I can imagine some of the rhythms that you're exploring or playing, they can take you very deep into a trance. So I can imagine that it's hard sometimes to come out of that space and then go to the ringing phone and say, hello, how are you? Right. So I think it's really, I think it's precious that you are clear with that. I also start, I always say to people, I have 2 days. I have my morning kind of as an artist, and I also make a very good lunch. I normally meditate after lunch, and then I start my coaching day. So it's almost like I have 2 days in one, two for one. Right. So I think that's fantastic. I want to play another song.
I have a nighttime. I wanted to share my nighttime thing. I forgot to tell you what I do at nighttime. So nighttime. Nighttime it gets crazy. So like I finally manifested a home where I can drum at any hour. And I have
fantastic.
Like Himalayan pink lamp salt, you know, and I play my drums and I do what you're saying. I play those rhythms, those crazy odd metered rhythms, and I'll go off. And I'll do it like right before I'm about to go to sleep, you know, and then I lie down and I meditate, and it's like, it energizes me, but it relaxes me. It's an interesting way to end your day, but I love it. I love drumming before bed.
I think that is what's so precious, this deep relaxation and this amazing rejuvenation at the same time. Yeah. I think there are very few things that can do that. And I think that people that go deeper into music, they understand that music gives us energy. And at the same time, that relaxing spaciousness that happens when we are doing certain types of music, not all types of music, but certain types
not
of
all
music.
Types of music.
Yeah, not all types of music, but certain types of music, it's amazing the harmony that happens inside of our body. So share with me, Marla. Marla, share with me a little bit about your track, Awakening. Now that we're talking about sleep, what about the awakening? What about awakening, Marla?
Okay, so this track, actually, when I found out, you know, again, I didn't know I was going to make it an album. I thought I was just going to record this Rhythm to Tok Mariam song. And when I found out that I was going to do an album, I woke up at 4 a.m. with this conversation with the drums. And I got the chills and I was like awoken, you know. So it's a song that is really like awakening your dreams, awakening to your calling. It's kind of like that's kind of the theme behind it. And actually, we just made a music video for this one that will be released in the end of the year. It's beautiful. It's in a cave. It's in an ancient cave. So, and I play everything in this song. So it's all me.
It's all you.
Awakening.
The essence of Marla, Awakening. Well, let's listen in.
Awakening. And you can dance. It's a great dancing one.
Okay, I'll be dancing. Okay, all right.
Dancing, me too.
You are listening to Awakening Marla Lee Goldstein is sitting with me in the studio, and that was everything that Marla's got. Flutes, percussion, you did it all, Marla. Rumi said, the day I stop drumming is the day I stop living.
One
can really feel the aliveness, the spirit moving through you. Such incredible music. Talk to us, Marla, about the art of Middle Eastern rhythms and how you use various meters and Middle Eastern magams to create this healing music that you have on your album.
Well, in the world of drumming, right, you have traditional mm-hmm. rhythms and then you have your own rhythms. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a person to create her own thing. When I was studying music, classical music, I always wanted to improvise and my teacher would never let me. Mm. Of course, I did it anyways. And when I pursued music in college, I went to study jazz flute, and jazz is all about improvising. So I love creating my own rhythm. So I love studying the traditional rhythm, but from that, I love creating my own. So every single rhythm in this album is my own rhythm. Mm-hmm. Nothing is a traditional rhythm. And so that's fun too, because it gives me full creativity, right? Like
right.
with the traditional rhythms, it's like if you don't play it right, if you say it's in traditional rhythm, it causes all kinds of havoc. So
yeah.
I really love just I love being creative and being able to play my own rhythms. And I like it. If I like it, that's what matters,
Right.
And then the makams is something that, it's very, very true to Middle Eastern music. And these are scales. And these are scales that, the traditional compositions are played in. And so in the melodies, I wrote the melodies first and then we figured out, it's in this makam. So they weren't based off the makams, they were based off the melodies. And I've always veered towards, minor melodies and with twists. And it's just been something I've loved my whole life. And then we figured out what makam it was in. And then we talked about it when we talked about the songs. And then we also tune our drums. So we spent a lot of time tuning the drums to match the tonality of the piece. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a whole orchestra of sonic heaven.
Yeah. And it's an art in itself to tune the drum. It's an art. Anybody who's ever had a drum in their hand knows that as soon as the room raises by 1 degree or something, the drum, again, these drums are alive. I wasn't kidding. We do say, you do have skins and heads and I don't know what else you have. I mean, I think singers were, the voice is the only instrument connected to the bloodstream. Right, but the drum is really alive. You feel its aliveness. It's very different than playing keyboard, and it changes. Mm. The pitch does change because the wood is alive, right? The skin is alive. I mean, was at one point alive, but it's still alive. You can sense the difference between I don't know. Do you sense a difference between a plastic fiber skin drum and a drum that is made from a beautiful animal that has sacrificed its life so it can become music?
No, that's so sweet. I actually don't play a lot of animal skin drums right now. I have one, and that's more for ceremonial kind of purposes, but because I travel a lot and the skin, when you have an animal skin drum, it's terrible. Like before they used to make tunable drums, my teachers told me that they would do performances and they'd sit the drum on a light, and you would just guess that it would be tuned enough, But with the tuning systems now that we have, it's really, really nice. Now, it doesn't sound like an animal skin drum, but it sounds really beautiful. It's a different kind
beautiful.
Of feel.
Yeah.
But it is true. It's very, very hard to tune them. And, if you record a part, and then you go to the bathroom, your drum could change and you have to do it again,
The warmth of your hands changes it also, right? The room, the warmth. If somebody opens the window suddenly and the wind comes in, the drum has changed, has shifted.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break, Marla, and then we're going to be right back.
Okay.
bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and today with me in studio is the Grammy-nominated percussionist, flautist, composer, educator, performer, foodie, and of course,
I've never been called that.
Founder of the Frame Drum Academy Online, Marla Lee Goldstein. Marla, you'd be surprised. I was so happy to have you on the show that I've decided to learn a tiny bit of Hebrew only for this occasion. So I was learning about one of your songs, Ahava Abba, and I read this, that most Hebrew words, tell me if this is true, can be broken down to a 3-consonant root word that contains the essence of the word's meaning. And the root word of ahava is ahav, and that term ahav in Hebrew means to give. And ahava, it's a strong love, which is to give or to have a longing for or breathing for another. So you have to share now. You have a beautiful composition, and it's very different than Awakening. And that's what I'm saying, that this album is really a journey. And for me, this album reflects the essence of life, right? So you have powerful moments of celebration, and you also have these deep moments of longing. So talk to us about the track Ahava Abba.
Oh, you are so sweet. I really hope I get to meet you one day. I love this. My Hebrew is not so good. I've been studying it since a little girl, but I don't know it so well. But I do know what these words mean. And so Ahava means love. Mm-hmm. So that's the Hebrew word for love, and Abba is the Hebrew word for father. Mm-hmm. And this song was very, very powerful to me, actually. So my father, may he rest in peace, really was such a supporter of me playing music. He was a opera singer. He used to say, you would like this, Kara. He would sing to me in the house with, like, you know, Mozart in the background. And he was a doctor. Nice. So he was, we grew up in Rochester, so we had Eastman School of Music. He was part of their choir. So I was always hearing high quality music since a little girl. And when my father was older, he got dementia and Parkinson's, and he was in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And I would visit him, and the first thing I would do was take him to a piano. Mm-hmm. And when he went to the piano, he lit up. His face just lit up. You know, he was in this daze. And when I gave him a drum, or I played for him, or I took him to the piano, he lit up. And so this song is a song I wrote with my father when he was next to me. I mean, he didn't write it with me, but his energy was there. And when I was in Israel recording, my beautiful producer, he heard me play this song on the piano, and I said, I dream of this being a string quartet, you know? Mm. And he goes, let's do it. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, I can't, no. And he's like, I have friends. I have great friends that can do this. And so we recorded the piano part, and he gave it to his friends, and they recorded, they recorded this beautiful piece. I was like in tears, you know, like, so it's a song for remembering the loved ones, remembering this gift of life, and remembering the essence of the loved ones that are so close to us. And there will be a music video for this someday. I really want to make one. I don't know what it's going to be, but I would love to bring that kind of vision into a video, because it's, you know, all of us have people that have touched our lives, and it's good to remember them. And there's something about a string quartet played with soul, you know, and these people that Liat and Oren, these are two like the most amazing musicians. They really played it with such soul. Like so I have the chills even talking about it. So
Beautiful. Let's listen then into Ahava Abba, and this is from Marla's.
Thank you.
for our beloveds. That was a Hava Abba off of Marla Lee Goldstein's latest album, and she's with me today in studio. Marla, there is a 500-year-old Otomi prophecy that says when 8,000 sacred drums sound together, an intense healing of Mother Earth will commence. What is your vision for our world? Where would you like to see us be in 6 months to 1 year? We know about quantum physics, so what do we need to do to align and connect?
Another powerful question. Mm-hmm.
For a powerful woman, I thought I would. I thought I'd meet you where you're at.
Wow. Well, I feel like it starts with ourselves. I think taking care of your own yourself, having ways to express your pain, your sadness, your joy, with not drugs. You know, having an outlet that you can use, whether it be drumming, singing, painting, you know, something that you can go to that really helps you release yourself and find that, you know, freedom. And our society is really, you know, in America, we love guns, you know, and it's weird and or it's drugs. It's like, you know, and so I'd love to see the society shift to more of the creative, using the creative arts as a way to numb themselves, to feed their souls, you know, instead of maxing out on Netflix or playing with guns or I don't want to, you know, shooting innocent people's lives because they're angry, to start with taking care of themselves and feeding their soul. And I think that starts with the parents, you know, like bringing the children up, like letting the children be free to do the arts. And I mean, that was the best blessing my dad did for me, as was like, encouraged me. So there's that. And then I also think it's coming together in community, you know, like sharing music would be amazing. I would love to see more people coming together, like we started this talk with, like drumming and singing and bringing that into your everyday lives. You don't have to be a trained nerd like you and I, right?
Yeah, you don't have to be, but we welcome you. Yeah,
we welcome you. But you know, you don't have to be playing for many years and studying with this. You can just pick up a drum and sing and feel that connection and bring it into your community and it be a change. I mean, yeah, and sing with kids and bring it to the younger ones, bringing it to elders. You know, I've done work all different kinds of, you know, age groups. And I love spreading this message of healing through music, whether it be drumming or the body. If you don't have drums, you could do body percussion and singing. And so that would be my vision. And less phone, less technology. I mean, we're grateful for technology, for music, for bringing this podcast, your show to, and having it reach people, but also to learn to turn off from technology and connect within yourself and the people around you to the arts. That would be my dream.
Beautiful. Yeah, I also believe that we have named things wrongly, that an arms race should be the race to the frame drum or the race to hug each other. You know, if somebody's armed, it means he should have 10 fingers to give us a hug and not to be carrying a gun. And so I think it's a beautiful vision that you have, and you are doing that in this world. And I do believe that you've kind of, you know, that is the essence, is that we have been programmed to think that we have to be perfectionists before we even begin. And to remember that it might just be whistling while we're biking, or it might just be like you. It's very beautiful, Mar. As you know, I know a little bit of your work, and sometimes you're like, if you don't have a drum, maybe you have a cereal box, or maybe you have a table with a spoon, or maybe you have a pan. I'm like, yeah, go girl. So no excuse. Are you in the
boxes are the best.
Pizza boxes, right? So are you in the process of making an album? Or are you on going on
How
tour
did you
now
know that?
I don't know. I was reading your mind. I was feeling into the moment. Yeah.
I actually went back to Israel in November to record album number two, and it's like Rhythms of Tof Miriam times two. It's amazing, and we still need to finish it, mix it. It's not yet ready, but I'm hoping to have it ready at the end of the year. And it's very powerful. I love the music of the Middle East and the frame drum, and it's so happy there because that's part of the, one of its origins. And so, I'm really looking forward to sharing with the world this new album. I don't have a name for it yet. It's called Album Number Two. How is that? Is that?
Well, that is a secret. That's like planting the seeds in the earth, and you don't know until they sprout what's going to come out. So it'll come to you. Right?
Probably. Yeah, and I'd like to do.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say in one of those late night sessions at 4 a.m. when you're just like awakening, it probably will just come to you, the title.
Yeah, the name and the whole. Yeah, it's a journey music. It's called Soundscape. I know it's Soundscapes for Healing, Harmony, and Hope. I just don't know the title of the album or the names of the songs. But I want to follow it with a double CD release tour. I have never, my debut album was released smack in the beginning of the pandemic in May 2020. Pandemic started in March. And so I fantasize about doing a double CD tour, both in America and Europe. So let's see how that pans out.
Beautiful. Well, we welcome you, Marla. I thank you so much for being with us today at Voice Rising. For all your gifts and many talents, many blessings and much success on your journey. And I'm sure that you will be back at some point again for our listening audience with your next album. But first of all, everybody out there, go pick up this album, right? So we can enjoy this album. Okay. All right. Blessings.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to meet you, and I loved this interview. That was really special. So thank you for putting your heart and soul into this and all you do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.